are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Welcome back, guys. We've got a special, special Jedi Mind Tricks episode today. It's all Jedi Mind Tricks, and we have a guest Jedi with us, Pastor Raymond Kajai. Did I say that right?
Raymond Kajai. Yeah, it's too much of a Jedi name.
It's a Jedi name. I have to wrap my mind around it.
Jedi Kayaja Raymond.
Yes, yeah. from all the way from Uganda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A pastor from Uganda here in the studio with us in the God Geeks podcast.
Oh, I'm excited. Our first guest.
Yeah.
And we have a great conversation.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And if you have never heard anything about Uganda, or you know everything there is to know about Uganda, you're going to love this one way or the other.
Definitely. You're going to geek out about
so
it.
So here it is. It's Jedi Mind Tricks.
I don't believe it.
Is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
Like we said in the intro, we have a special guest with us in the studio. Actually, the first guest on the God Geeks podcast.
Yeah, first. This is exciting.
Yeah, this is our first guest, and I'm actually honored to be in the room with this guy at any time. This is Pastor Raymond Kayaja from Uganda, from the Misindi district of Uganda. Say hello, Pastor Raymond.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Pastor Raymond Kayaja from Misindi.
He is a natural. He just leans right in there like he's on the radio. And chimes right in. That's what we like to hear. We like to see. So Raymond, sort of the idea we had of having you on the show was just to give our listeners an idea of what it's like to live in Uganda and to do ministry in Uganda, and maybe talk about some of the challenges that you have. And I'm sure James has questions for you. So we'll just start with tell us. You know, a little bit about yourself. Tell our listeners a little bit about you.
Yeah, as I said from the start, I'm Pastor Raymond from Misindi, and I'm married with four children, three girls and one boy, and I minister to 13 congregations. And Misindi is located in the midwestern part of Uganda, and Uganda as a country is located in East Africa on the eastern part of the continent. Yeah,
and this is your third trip to Texas to visit us, your friends,
yeah.
And we've come and visited you five or six times there in Uganda, and part of our relationship, our bond is in the brotherhood of Jesus Christ. We're blood brothers, if you will. We're blood brothers in Christ, and. And so that church, that international universal church, the one church in the world, doesn't have borders like Uganda, the United States, and so we're able to love one another across the ocean like that.
True.
And so tell our listeners, as a pastor there, you're a Lutheran pastor, right?
Yes, I am a Lutheran
and
pastor.
And so you actually. You have the same confession of faith that we do here in the United States. You believe the same thing that we believe, and you preach that in your context there.
Christ,
so tell a little bit about
idea.
That. Talk about your theology. What is it that you believe about who God is?
The God I believe in is the triune God, a God who is not... a demanding God, but a loving God who freely takes care of me, who actually searched for me when I was running away from him, when I felt...
He's pretty fast, isn't he?
He does that.
You can run away, but he's faster.
I was running away, and he's faster. He got me and asked, Raymond, why are you running? I said, I was like, I'm a sinner. I can't get there. And he was like, yes, you're the right guy. I want to help you get out of the sinful nature you are in. You can't work that out by yourself. That's why I'm walking, seeking for you in the garden in Africa so that I can save you out. And that's why Christ came to save me out. So he's the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who through his Son has worked his love and grace to rescue me from the damnation of darkness unto the light. So
yeah.
He's the God I serve. And
so you were a lost sinner, helpless and hopeless to go to God to make your relationship right with God, and God came to you in Christ.
Sure.
How did God come to you in Christ? Did you hear something preached? Were you baptized? How did it work? How was it that you became a Christian, and how was it that you became a Lutheran?
I was baptized, but my baptism came when I was old. When I remember when I was baptized, I was 13 years old, and the delay was because in the Catholic where I was, they wanted the funds which my father could not have at the moment to pay for the baptism.
So the Catholic Church in your area asked your father to pay money to have you baptized,
He didn't have the funds. So I was baptized when I was in grade 7, I remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you baptized in the Catholic Church then?
I was baptized in the Catholic Church.
Okay,
then,
but still
yes.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we as Lutherans recognize baptisms by other denominations because we believe that it's God who's doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And you were baptized in His name. So
in
you were baptized
name.
To the Catholic Church, and that happened later in life. But talk about maybe then what happened to bring you to the Lutheran understanding.
Yeah, to bring me to the Lutheran understanding, which is salvation by grace through faith alone, in Christ alone, the solas, which you know, came about when I started getting the Lutheran correspondence courses and under Lutheran Hauer Media Ministry. And we were in school and they brought that stuff, and I picked interest in studying the course. So I did a certificate and finished it, a Bible correspondence course program, and I later had an interest of finding out, because in the studies we were having, I was taking, it was much different how I understood the God I served and who saved me from the Catholic, while I was a Catholic, and I thought it was a God who demanded me to work out my salvation, a God who I needed to recite Holy Mary a couple of times, a God who needed me to do fasting, much of doing than receiving from him.
Yes.
So I got that understanding, and I asked, where does this church was from, so I can go and have
When you read and understood what the Lutheran view of theology was, your response was, this is far different than what I've been taught, and where is a church that I can go where they're teaching what this is saying?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And the answer was,
I was told,
there's not a church. You gotta be the church.
I was told you have to come and start up. Otherwise the church is in Jinja, is in Kampala. But if you're willing and you have gone through the teaching, you can come and we start up the service. The first day I went, I was told to lead the liturgy and preach.
Yeah.
But
So you were actually, because there was a need in your area and there was no one who had a Lutheran understanding of what was being taught, when you learned what the Lutheran understanding of theology was, it was sort of for you, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, you tell me, it was sort of a simultaneous sort of call then to say, there's a need in this area for someone who understands what you now understand about this Lutheran identity, this Lutheran theology, and we need a preacher to do that. And so we're willing to show you a path where you can become a pastor, but until you become a pastor, we need someone to lead the liturgy and to preach.
Yeah.
In this congregation. Is that how it went?
Yeah, that's how it went. And I just said with you on the first Sunday I was there, I was asked to lead. So I had a couple of 30 minutes to look through the Lutheran worship. And I started marking here, face the altar, face the congregation. I would put F-A, F-C, F-A to mean face the altar, F-C mean face the congregation. And I would write
stand. So you worked it out in 30 minutes and led the first service.
I'm going to use that system now. That's
beautiful. So then it was some time then before that was a small little congregation there in the town in Masindi, I would assume.
Yeah, in Masindi.
And there was some time then there before you were able to go through the seminary and become an ordained pastor and actually then begin to...
Yeah.
Was there a time before the sacraments, before your congregation's actually even able to be served the sacraments? Or was there a way that the church came and served the church the sacraments? Are you telling,
yes, we would do. When I started, of course, I could not administer the sacrament because I had not yet gone through the seminary training and ordination rites. So it took, we would have someone travel from central part of Uganda. That's where the capital city of Uganda is,
okay.
Kampala. And
pastor would come in, yeah. So your congregation on the occasion that someone was there, yeah, was able then to receive the Lord's Supper
and that
or
was,
to be baptized.
Yeah, that would be three times a year.
Okay.
When he would come and administer to us the sacrament.
But since then, and this was quite some time ago, since then you have gone to seminary and you are a pastor. You're not only a pastor of one congregation,
yeah,
basically for the region of that area of Uganda, you oversee 13 congregations, is what you were saying there at the beginning. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true.
And so there are other men and actually women who've gone through, women are going through a deaconess program, men are going to seminary, and God is raising up some other men around you. Tell us about how long ago that's been and how rapidly, what all is happening there.
As I said, I've been in the ministry serving that region for the last 17 years, and I've been alone. But since the year began, we had God's gift through South Africa, and we had to train 20 men in the ministry. 20 students have been in the leadership training class, and out of those, we have at least 10 leading the service in other congregations, including my town congregation where I was from.
Wow.
So those churches are
growing like wildfire, and it sounds to me like there is such a thirst for the message that you heard originally that was so different from what else was being preached in the area. But it sounds to me like there are people that are really thirsty and hungry for the Lutheran theology, for the word and the sacrament, in a really gospel driven freeing preaching, that these people in this area are drawn to that because they need their conscience unburdened.
As you know, I have been sharing this with you and a couple of members I meet that within a period of 6 years, we have seen 6 congregations planted. That means every year, as we started with South Africa, partnering with the Lutheran Church in Masindi, we have seen every year God planting a congregation. Whatever we could put a well there, the word of God was also planted. So
a water well where people didn't have clean water, a water well was put in the ground, and the church comes along and make sure that water well is working for the community, and that helps.
How many wells are there now?
We have 4 wells already put in place. Okay. Yeah,
and
yeah.
How long does it take to get a well going? Is that a long process?
It is because the drilling itself, we start with the surveying of the place, and they locate a place where there's water, and not just nearby places which are near the swamp, because that water will be unhealthy. So they locate places that are a bit far from the swamp area, wetland areas, and digging. They have to dig as deep as breaking the earth crust rock to get the very best of the water, the health of the water that would serve the people.
And that water won't run out on those
it
wells.
It doesn't run out.
There's so many spiritual.
It doesn't run out.
There is a. There's a lot of. There is a lot
living
of
living water and water.
It becomes
it's beautiful because
a fountain
because,
living
yeah,
well.
Yeah,
fountain
doesn't
yeah.
run dry.
Yeah.
Well, and the way that I understand it, Raymond, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the reason. So you have four water wells now, and all four of those water wells have a church that's involved with that water well, and like you said, the six. Churches that have God has planted in the last 6 years.
Yeah.
You don't want to just put a water well in because people need water, and then there's no church, there's no one in the community to care for that water well, to make sure the water well continues to work, to make sure that people have access to it. Because so the idea of a practical, functional water well in the ground for the community is beautiful, but unless there's an entity like the church who sees that water well as a service to the people, as that church sees that water well as we're going to buy a piece of property, we're going to drill a water well on it, and we're going to maintain this water well for whoever in this area. And you were saying the other day that one of those water wells in these village areas can serve up to 3,000 people.
Yeah, 3,200.
For the entirety of their life,
extend their lives.
Absolutely,
clean waters.
Yeah,
right. And then the repercussions of that are not simply health. Obviously, with the church being there preaching the gospel, there's a spiritual and physical reality to it, but there's also a financial reality and an education reality, where now kids who were fetching water all day from water sources all over the place can now go to school.
Yeah, get time to get to school. Yeah.
Yeah. So the light that those churches are shining in that darkness is an amazing thing, and obviously it's not. The churches that are doing it, it's the living God, Jesus Christ, who's alive and who is caring and loving these people who are so thirsty for real water and who are so thirsty for the living water of what's being preached.
And they always testify that. I'm happy the people in the community always see the wells that are put in their villages as a gift from God. You remember, I just posted a couple of months ago a post on my timeline where the well had a cup, a blue cup put on top. And when I asked the kids why they had the cup on the well, which the cup would stay there on top of the well, and they told them this well was given to us by God. And so we want God's people, every time they are passing on by and they are thirsty, they will just get a cup and fetch water there and take. That blew my mind. And I was like, how can these young kids get to know all this stuff? They're still young to that level, and they get to know this not personal making, out of their own making, but it's God doing all the stuff in their community and continue to provide them. So through South Africa, we see that members get to see God's continued providence through his son to his people. And
so you've mentioned this a couple times. The name of the organization that you're a director of is called Soul Thirst Africa, and the website is soulthirstafrica.org.
Yes.
If any of our listeners are want to look at pictures and see, you actually see pictures of Raymond on there, and these kids, I found that story so beautiful because it reminded me instantly of Matthew 9 when Jesus talks about if you give so much as a cup of cold water to one of these, you're giving it to me.
Yeah.
You know, and if you give a cup of cold water, you will not lose your reward. And it's these kids that are, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, living in a village. They have nothing, and they want people who come through there if they're thirsty to have water. And it's so beautiful, because to me it just reminded me that the kingdom of God is such as these. The kingdom of God is these is these children who are living in poverty, and they've been loved by God with this water, and they want everyone to have that love. So James, I know you've got questions for Raymond.
So I'm a teacher when I'm not at church. And you guys just started a school too, right? Is this the first school you've started?
Yes, it is the first school in the region with the permanent structures,
And what age kids are coming to the school? So it's like first grade through seventh grade, is that right?
From kindergarten, 3 years to at least 17 years, we'll be going to that school, yeah.
And how many kids are you guys expecting?
So far, before I left the country, we had already registered 80 children who are already 80. Taking up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a healthy start.
So
breaking down the doors.
So you're not. I mean, this. But and so the 80 kids. That's how many grades is that's only just a couple of grades, right?
80 kids from kindergarten to grade 3 only.
Okay. Yeah. So 80. So you don't start a school with all the grades. You have to start a school a little bit at a time. Make sure you have the right teachers, you have the right, you know, thing, administration in place. So you're starting kindergarten through
grade three.
Yeah. And then as you go, you'll actually add grades. And so the kids that are getting to grow up in that school, they'll be the first graduating class eventually. That school.
We hope.
And those kids, let me ask you this, those kids in that village that you're talking about, first there was a church, then there was a water well, now there's a school. Those kids had zero opportunity to go to school before.
Yes, they had zero opportunity to go to school, and those who would have a chance to go were to walk 12 miles away. And you can imagine a child of 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, can't manage to walk the 12 miles away.
Yeah.
You have been there, you see the nature of our routes that we take, not roads, but routes.
Yeah, their path. Their
path, in fact, their path. And,
Sometimes the roads that are really, really out in the really rural areas of Uganda can't even be traveled by vehicle. You have to
sometimes
and just
walk. Sometimes you see during rainy season, they flood and cut off the other end. So you can't easily cross by, and the kids can't cross. Sometimes they can be swept off by the stream the water is high.
So one question that might be kind of a basic question that I think a lot of people have is, there's all these people who live out in the villages, right? They have, if they have no clean water, they have no schools, what do they do? How do they make a living? What is it? Why are they live out there? How come they don't go to the cities? You know, what is life like for them? What's their source of income and trade and all this?
Most of our people are farmers.
Yeah. So farming is the main.
Yeah, farming is the main.
And what are the main crops that they farm?
They grow mostly corn, beans. We have also groundnuts. That's what they grow mostly.
So
and bananas too. Is that
bananas of course
too. A farmers will grow their crops. They live a simple life out in the village.
Yep.
They grow their crops, and then when it's time to harvest, and because Uganda has such a good
climate
year round, how many times can they harvest crops?
We harvest two times. We have two growing season from March to June, then we harvest and have between July and August we are preparing, and mid August we start planting and harvest in December.
And
so
they,
we have
then
two
they,
growing
so they,
season.
They take their crop. It's that, then to a centralized place like Masindi, where you live, and then they sell those crops, and that's how they make a living. And that's a big part of life in the villages is maintaining crops or piggeries,
Poultry.
So that's kind of what life is like out in the village, and some of the most beautiful, sweet, loving people that you'll ever meet in your life will be out in those villages, and also in the cities too of Uganda. It's a wonderful place to be. And
I've also encountered some I've encountered many beautiful and loving people right in Dallas, in Texas.
Yeah. They're also there are a few. You're right. Yeah, there are a few.
Not a few, many. That was a slight time.
There may not even be more than one in this room right now.
There are more than one here in this room, man. Plenty of them.
James, did you have any other questions?
I want to know how you two met. How did you meet Bill? And why did you keep talking to him?
I think I met Bill while on my way to the seminary. I was going to Kenya by then. That was my first year in the seminary. And I was so much scared about the Greek and Hebrew languages. So
this is what I remember.
Yeah, so I kind of kept asking these people with Tim Radke how Tim Radke go through the Greek classes.
Tim Radke, who's a Lutheran pastor here locally in the DFW Metroplex, had invited my church at the time to go on a trip with them that was already planned to Uganda. Mm-hmm. And so we had a group of men that was invited to go, and we jumped at the chance. None of us had ever been. And in being there in Uganda, and being with their group, there's a place in Uganda, where Lake Victoria is the mouth or the source of the Nile River, which flows north all the way into Egypt, and it's the Nile River that you hear about Moses and the source of the Nile is there in Uganda, and we were at the actual source, and I don't mean just near the source. I mean there's an island in the middle of the source of the river that you can take a boat out to.
Uh-huh.
And that's where we were when I met Raymond, because what it was just like a special event where...
And we were eating jackfruit right on the sauce.
I might have been drinking a beer too. They have a beer there in Uganda called Nile Special.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's a great beer. And we were sharing a beer, and there was a big group of people, and I was hanging out with Tim Radke, who, like I said, is a pastor. And what I had noticed on this trip up until this point, because we'd been there for 4 or 5 days, was that they recognized that Tim was a pastor, and they saw that a lot of men who needed things, needed help, needed money, needed a motorcycle, needed a job, needed resources, which there's a lot of need there, and they would approach Tim and they would ask him for things. And it was kind of like there was an opportunity for these guys to get some face time with him, and they would give him a list of stuff that they were really, pray for me about this, and I need this, and I need this. And I noticed that, and I understood it, and that's probably how I would have been too. If I would have seen an opportunity to ask someone that might have been able to help me with resources, I probably would have asked for that too.
Yep.
And then I saw and met Raymond at the source of the Nile that day. And when Raymond got his chance to talk to Tim, what Raymond said was, "I'm really struggling with Greek. How did you get through Greek in the seminary?" And basically waste his opportunity in talking to Tim, asking him about something theological.
I wasn't wasting the opportunity. I was using the opportunity, man.
Yeah, you were really, but his questions were all theological.
Yeah.
And I was blown away by that. My instant impression of him was, this is a man who's after God's word. He's after the truth of God's word. And instantly, being a God geek and loving theology myself, instantly I fell in love with that posture in him. Mm-hmm. And we quickly began to talk and hang out, and then became friends. And my next trip to Uganda, I asked him, Raymond, is there anybody, where you're, because he's from Midwest Uganda. This was on the whole east side of Uganda the whole time we were there.
Yeah.
I said, Raymond is there. And he wasn't a pastor at the time. He was still in the seminary, which is in Kenya. So he was traveling away from his family, going to Kenya to the Lutheran seminary there. And I said, Raymond is, is there anybody helping, helping support the ministry and people out in in your area that you're connected with? And he said, there's not. And I said, well, that's where we would like to go when we go back to Uganda the next time. Yeah. And he said, and he obviously, it was an open invitation. Please come and see what's going on.
It was good news to me to hear that you would make one day a visit to my area.
Yeah.
That was so amazing and encouraging.
But we ended up spending a lot more. And since I've gone back to Uganda, that's the only place I've gone is to Misindi, and I've fallen in love with those people. We've been friends now for 5 or 6 years. And
back before your beard.
When I had a shorter beard, beard and less gray.
He was not Mulejo by then.
Yeah. So my name in Uganda, for the people that know me there, is Mulejo, which means the bearded man. So they all know me as Mulejo.
Okay.
And so I'll be
chubby Mulejo.
Yeah. That's right. Right.
You get there, you have that name, man.
Now I get it. All right.
You just named yourself. Well, so I really do. I really genuinely see Pastor Raymond as my personal pastor. And I have you as a James as a pastor, and even though he's a vicar, I have Patrick Miller as a pastor, but Raymond is in there in the mix as the people that I see as my personal pastor that I look to and I respect and I ask things of. And
we thank the Lord of that. I'm just humbled by that.
Yeah,
not me, but the one who is in me.
Amen. And I think that's what it is. I think when you see Christ in another man, and you see a man that Christ has got a hold of, it's one of those things that you instantly say, man, if there's anything that I can do to love that guy and help that guy, I want to do it. And it's been amazing because at the time, right after we met, we began the charity Soul Thirst Africa here. Which I'm not even any longer involved with. I just helped start it, and I was the director at the beginning, and that was sort of to get it rolling on the American side. And it's actually Raymond now who is the director of it. So it's a charity that is got a board of directors here in the United States that are Americans because it's an American charity, but he's the director of it. So Ugandans, you know,
that's a great model.
Yeah, Africans are actually
so unique.
Africans are actually running the charity.
Yeah.
Our main function as Americans is to really raise the funds, and then the board of directors and Raymond, they communicate back and forth about the work that's getting done. He has the ability to show them and demonstrate to them that the money is going where it needs to go through receipts and evidence and all the other things. And they take trips over there.
Yeah.
And so what's great for me is that when I get to go over there to Uganda, it's no longer has anything to do with work. It's just because I'm his friend and I get to
preach the gospel.
So we just have a good time. We have a blast when we go, and we have a blast when he's here.
So
we're honored. That's we're cool. Just honored to have him as a guest on the God Geeks podcast.
And oh yeah.
It's been a special episode for me.
First honorary God Geek.
That's right. Yeah.
A pleasure to be behind the mic and share what God is accomplishing through us and South Africa.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So
what a blessing to be here and share.
So anyone who wants to see Raymond on the Facebook, you're not on Twitter. You're on Facebook, but
I'm on Facebook.
Yeah. So Raymond Kaija, KAIJA, he's on there, and soulthirstafrica.org is the name of the charity that he is the director of, and that's also on Facebook. You can find Soul Thirst Africa on Facebook and on Twitter. And you can send him a message. You can send the board of director message, and you can donate if you look at the website and you love what's going on here. And I know that you can hear the love of Jesus in this man's voice. And
amen.
So, so thanks for coming on,
yeah,
man.
Thank you, Pastor Raymond.
Yeah.
Thank you for hosting me.
Maybe we'll do a remote God Geeks in Uganda.
I
want to
do that.
All right, we're in. All right.
That would be great.
At the source of the Nile.
That's right, at the source of the Nile with some Nile specials. All right.
Thanks.
All right, thanks for listening, guys.
Fellas, of course. God geeks.